Okay, go ahead. It's all yours, Jeff. Would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is up?
Please, that would be great.
All righty.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jeff Ricketts, and I'm a recovered Al-Anon chaos creator, controller fixer, grateful member of This Is My Home Group meeting, Monday night, London. God bless you, Carol, for asking me here. I'm so grateful to be here and to, I'm going to unpack some of step 11 today. And this is my home group. So I'm going to do a little, bouncy because there's some things that are stirring me up in a good way, stirring my spirit up. And, I want to see if my lip is trembling, and I ask God if he would stop that from happening. And he said, no, that's just the way it's going to be. So that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to read a little bit from this book, which I'm reminded again and again that my solutions are in this book. I don't have to go take another course or join another church, or I can do those things. I don't have to do all of these workshops, this kind of self-help lifestyle that I had pursued for many years. I can do those things, but the solution is going to be in these pages. So part of my message tonight would be in step 11, this enlarging my spiritual life. I believe this book is prophetic, very much like Bill W. and the 100 or so people were prophetic in terms of having an access to God himself and writing an instruction manual for the rest of us to be able to gain that same access. And so I take the pages of this very seriously because it's done so much in my life and in and through me. So I'm going to look at page 214, and these are the stories of the alcoholics who had known a spiritual experience. And this is our Southern friend, and you'll remember him from the We Agnostics chapter. So he's basically in a hospital for alcoholics, and he meets an alcoholic who is known as spiritual experience, and he goes and leaves him, and he says, "I get in bed and turn out the light, but I cannot sleep. Suddenly a thought comes, can all the worthwhile people I have known be wrong about God? Then I find myself thinking about myself and a few things that I had wanted to forget. I began to see that I'm not the person I thought myself, that I had judged myself by comparing myself to others and always to my own advantage. It is a shock. Then comes a thought that is like a voice. Who are you to say there is no God? It rings in my head. I can't get rid of it." I'm going to read that again. Then comes a thought that is like a voice. Who are you to say there is no God? I just wanted to point that out, that in our BBA work, that we go through this work and we sit down week after week with this big book and with God, and we ask and we turn statements into questions. And then we wait and we hear, we actually have a dialogue with God, with the God of our understanding. Earlier, he says, is it God, Allah, Confucius, prime cause, divine mind, whatever floats your boat. And so for me, there's some of those things that have happened in BBA where something emerged from deep down within me that was like a download. I don't know where the question came, but it happened in my own mind and it seemed to come from somewhere else. And I feel like that's it. Who are you to say there is no God? It rings in my head. I can't get rid of it. So I feel like God is like that, where once he gets access to me, he won't leave me alone, which I'm grateful for. I get out of bed and go to the man's room. He is reading. "I must ask you a question," I say to the man. "How does prayer fit into this thing?" "Well," he answers, you've probably tried praying like I have. When you've been in a jam, you've said, "God, please do this or that." And if it turned out your way, that was the last of it. And if it didn't, you've said there isn't any God, or he doesn't do anything for me. Is that right? Yes, I reply. That isn't the way, he continued. The thing I do is say, God, here I am, and here are all my troubles. I've made a mess of things and can't do anything about it. You take me and all my troubles and do anything you want with me. Does that answer your question? Yes, it does, I answer. I return to bed. It doesn't make sense. Suddenly, I feel a wave of utter hopelessness sweep over me. I am in the bottom of hell, and there, a tremendous hope is born. It might be true. So that's our Southern friend from the We Agnostics chapter. And I feel like I had to have an experience like this in order for this program to be real, to really live inside me. And we've talked about this, the people on here, Carol and Judith and Darren and some others, Sandy, we've talked about having an experience of this higher power, not just reading about it or seeing it work in others. And this was also what the way I was shown through this work, because up until this point, I've been in recovery 30 years now, 32 years, walked into the Church of the Epiphany on the Upper East Side of New York, into what was then ACA. And I got a lot of recovery out of those meetings, and I've talked about that. And it was in 2016 where I first started doing this BBA work. And this constant wrangling back and forth, is this true for me? These questions, these turning statements into questions and being taken through this work by another man who had a spiritual experience and was living what seemed like the promises, living with God actively in the present, not some concept of God, but like a present understanding of it, and always kind of shaking me a little and saying, Jeffy, you know, if you think you found it, you got to shake it up and begin again and set aside what you think you know about this thing, because it's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than your wildest dreams. And I feel like these first, say, 8 steps or the first 7 steps are really important first. They were important first for me to take those because I had an experience of God on the inside of me before I could start the discipline. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the disciplinary steps, which are 10 and 11. I had done 10 and 11 work in the past, but it was more about rectifying myself and me still being in charge of my life. And again, trying to earn my way into God's kingdom by doing this really well. So I needed the grace to come in. That's what I call it, grace. Because I really did think that I was one of these special cases that was just unfixable. I mean, I was in the rooms and I really was trying to sponsor everybody and do the steps and be just like my sponsor was Jack C at the time. And I'm an actor. I just mimicked whatever he did. And I got some good results out of that. But I didn't have that internal experience that I heard a lot of you say where like God is living on the inside of me. And I just thought, this is, you know, this sucks for me. until I had that spiritual experience on my own. And also I feel like a good sponsor was able to say to me, showed me how to seek God in my own way. I mean, these pages really help in that they give revelation from other people that have gone before me that were much worse off than me, who have known a spiritual experience, but I can't have their experience. I have to make my own approach to this higher power. And that's what step 11 is about. I'm gonna jump into step 11 a little more specifically. I have another tape that I can share with this group where I just take everybody through line by line, which, you know, I'm a studious person. I go through step 11 every single day and step 10, pages 84 to 88. The way I do it is I wake up in the morning. I'm too tired at night to go through the evening review. So I do it in the morning, and I go through and I answer all of these questions. And for a new experience, you can go through and ask yourself these questions just as they're posed in the BBA. Was I kind and loving toward all today? You know, I ask myself, I'm with God, and I ask myself these questions, and I answer to the best of my ability. I write the answers, and then I ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken, and then I feel forgiven. That's the other thing, is once I get through nine, suddenly I realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And then I start seeing these things in my life. And I want to share some of these miracles that have come up for me, because the spiritual life is not a theory. And these promises are not theoretical. They're actually happening in and through us. It says here, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. It takes no effort on my part to receive strength, inspiration, and direction, or to realize that God is doing for me what I'm doing, what I can't do for myself. Just so you know, I'm not going to have time to unpack all of it, but the instruction manual of 85 to 88 is something that I do every day. And I'm not that creative. I'm really not that creative. I just do what it says. And I said this at another meeting, and it dawned on me that this is a letter from my higher power through a group of prophets, Bill W. and that 100, to help me. It's for me. It's not against me. So this is to help me live in the sunlight and to live this great life that I'm having. I'm looking right now at my Feldenkrais table that I have. So for years, I wanted to do this kind of body work stuff and Feldenkrais and be a practitioner. And I'm doing it now. I'm doing it. I've been blessed in the wallet. My finances have completely turned around. My marriage is fantastic. I mean, I'm tickled pink that things are going so well for me. And I don't think that's the thing, is I don't think I caught a lucky break. I feel like it's the fruits of the Spirit that are coming from pursuing this relationship and being disciplined about it. It says we're undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this simple way just outlined. I also, before I go out into my day, I do the step 10 thing, and I go through it. So it is like in that story, the one alcoholic says to the other guy, our Southern friend, he says, your life is going to change, and it's going to be for the good. It's not, you're gonna learn how to cope with your alcoholism in a new way. You're going to have this miraculous life that you beyond your wildest dreams, and that's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. That's what happens to a lot of us. So, what did I want to tell you? So recently I did a movie. I'm an actor by profession, and I had so much fear and anxiety around movie sets before I did the step work that I just simply withdrew from the profession. I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, and I also, I used the big book to beat myself up. You know, Bill W. went back to Wall Street, and, you know, I should be able to do this with my higher power. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was too scared. And then that inventory process that really, really was a game changer for me, where I lost my fear of movie sets. And I still, you know, I feel like I'm in a process, and I still get triggered from here once in a while, but it's simply not the same. And I feel like I use about 20% effort now in life, and the results are about, I don't know, 500% further. So it's the spiritual life is really, really wild to me that it takes so much less effort. It takes so much less self-will. It's an action program. It's a disciplinary program. It's much easier for me to do these simple steps that are outlined in this book. Is that 5 minutes?
5 more minutes.
Thanks. It's just much easier for me to do these than it is to do life on my own power. It is. And it just seems so bizarre and so beyond comprehension that I can have this life and peace and serenity too. It's just, you know, it's like the whole buffet. What do I want to talk about? I was doing it as part of this this thing in the 11th step. It says, if circumstances warrant, I ask my spouse or friends to join me in morning meditation. If I belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, I attend to that also. Not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. I need to be quick to see where religious people are right, make use of what they offer. So a little background for me. I'm like a left-leaning, downtown performance artist, theater actor from, you know, living in New York City. And so as a result of this process and really taking that passage seriously, I have become a born-again Christian. And this is the most bizarre happening, because that should not have happened to somebody like me. And I just marvel at it, because it truly is one of those things where I didn't decide for it. It was really God pursuing me. And my heart was just open enough to let it happen. And so now, as part of that, I started this study. I started this prophets study of the Old Testament prophets with these other guys at my church. And it's awesome. It is just like mind blowing how much it parallels the stories in the big book and the big book itself and the dysfunction that I'm learning from those Old Testament prophets as compared with we Exciteholics, control freaks, what have you. It's just, they overlap so beautifully. And so I was on this movie, I was on the movie set, and I play a pastor in the movie, which is pretty weird, just pretty bizarre, because I've never done that. I usually play an assassin, you know, these kinds of baddies on TV. There's one scene where I'm supposed to come into the room and this really mean, nasty cowboy says, preacher, get in here and pray for my son. He's dying. His son is dying. And so the words on this, on the page are, you know, the guy, the screenwriter doesn't know much about the Bible or something. He writes a little bit of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So I was like, oh, and then I'm just mumbling it, because I'm not a very good pastor in the thing. I'm mumbling it, and then he says, louder. So then I had to say the whole thing, and I thought, oh, and now I got to learn the 23rd Psalm. You know, I know a little bit of it, but now I have to memorize it. And that's the thing about being an actor. I'm at an advantage, because when I memorize something, I make it my own, and it becomes true for me. And so I learned the 23rd Psalm, and I'm having to work it every day, because it was a new text that was added to the script and blah, 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 this kind of thing. And he comes to me the day we're going to shoot it, and he says, oh, we're cutting you from the scene. You're not in the scene anymore. It's too many people in the room, blah, 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 this kind of thing. And but I noticed that the things that were in the 23rd Psalm were happening to me on that set. And I was not wanting, and I was, I felt like I was being led beside the still waters, and my soul was being restored. And there were certain scenes that I had to do, which was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it was mind-blowing, because it was like, this is my God, who I choose to call God, and it's a father. This was his way of getting that prayer to me. It wasn't meant for the movie, but it was meant for me. And things like that, things like the voicing, I'll wrap up, the things like the voicing of these words that are from spiritual textbooks like this Bible, or spiritual textbooks like this big book. When somebody says that to me, or when I repeat it, God is everything for me. I see God's presence everywhere. It becomes true for me. That's what I got today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to stop the recording.